You found it, the best place for live, local, conservative talk in the morning. The Commute with Carlson, stimulating, entertaining, and making a difference. Here's John Carlson on Talk Radio 570 KVI.
That is precisely why this is the most ridiculously hyped Armageddon since the Mayan calendar.
You tell him, Charles. It's 5 minutes after 5 o'clock. John Carlson, Talk Radio 570 KVI. Charles Krauthammer there talking about sequestration. I love how the president, who owns this idea, okay, he's going to try to say, well, no, this is something that everyone was really involved with. No. As I will prove without any doubt whatsoever, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that this is definitely Barack Obama's baby. He is trying to make sequestration look as painful and as scary as possible so that people will call their congressmen and say, don't let this happen. But it's going to happen. And what I want to do is I want to take you through exactly what we are talking about, because I'll tell you something. If Republicans lose this fight on sequestration, then Barack Obama has carte blanche for the next 3 years and 10 months. I mean, it's that clear. That's what this fight, that's the stakes of this fight. It's not just about getting some short-term deficit reduction. Because, again, as you're going to hear, there is no real deficit reduction. It's just slowing the growth of future deficits and debt. But I wanted to give you a summary of what's going on, and I found it in this wonderful back and forth on Fox News between Karl Rove, Republican consultant, the architect of the George Bush presidency, and Joe Trippi, a Democratic consultant. They were on talking with Brett Baer. First of all, what really is sequestration all about?
Senate Democrats are talking about replacing the sequester. We don't really have a White House plan per se, but Senate Democrats did come out with something.
Well, the sequester would end up in $85 billion in cuts. The Senate plan, a balanced plan they call it, would end up with $110 billion in both revenue and cuts to replace it. And so it'd be $55 billion in new revenue. Most of that would be the Buffett rule. $53 billion would come from taxing higher income folks to make sure that they can't, they don't go underneath what middle class pay less rate than the middle class families do. And then you've got $2 or $3 billion more in revenue that's really eliminating loopholes and other things. But the $55 billion in spending cuts, $27.5 billion comes from the military, comes from defense cuts, and $27.5 billion comes from farm subsidies. So you're ending up there with $55 billion in new revenue. Republicans aren't going to like that. And $55 billion in cuts to replace it from the Senate plan.
Okay, so here we are facing automatic spending reductions here in about a week if Congress does not find a way to further reduce the deficit, find a way to cut $1.2 trillion from expected increases over the next 10 years. And it would start with, actually, it's closer to $45 billion because this year has already begun. By the time everything would be triggered, it would be about $45 billion, not the $80 we're hearing. But nevertheless, the Senate plan, the Democratic plan in the Senate, they control the Senate, would raise taxes. And they said, well, you know, we were making some reductions here too. So here they are, just a month after they raised taxes, they're right back to doing it again. And here is what the alternative to that is in the House of Representatives controlled by the Republicans.
All right, House Republicans. What are they saying?
They've passed twice a sequestration replacement bill with over $300 billion in targeted cuts over the next several years. This would not only help us avoid this year's $85 billion sequestration across the board haircut, but would allow us to avoid cuts in the future. Most of them are drawn by, for example, ending waste and duplication of government programs. They take a bunch of job training programs and put them together in order to reduce costs. They roll back. The president has used administrative rulemaking to greatly expand the use of food stamps. You can get food stamps today, for example, if you get $1 in utility assistance, $1.
It doesn't have increased revenue or increased taxes as a part of the House Republican plan.
And the president
talks, that's what they've said.
That's right. Well, the president talked about a balanced approach. During the campaign, he ran television ads saying $2.50 in spending cuts for every dollar in revenue. In January, he got $600 billion more in revenue. That translates into $1.5 trillion in cuts to match the balanced proposal that the president laid out with his campaign ads.
See, and that is what the Democrats don't want to acknowledge. They want to pretend that that $600 billion tax increase, the fiscal cliff tax increase on people earning $400,000 a year and up, or those who lose deductions from $250,000 and up, they want to pretend that just didn't happen. It doesn't matter. So now that we have sequestration, we need a blending of tax increases and spending cuts. So the Republican response to that is, what, are you blind? Were you not here less than 2 months ago? We just passed a huge tax increase. We're not going back to any more tax increases. You know, you say you want a balanced approach. Okay, here's your balanced approach. The fiscal cliff was about taxes. You got $600 billion. The sequestration is going to be about spending cuts, and that's all we're going to do. We're going to cut spending. That needs to be the Republican line. Clear, simple, and fair. Now, one of the kind of emerging stories that's coming out of the whole sequestration is that, look, all Congress would really need to do is give the government, the departments and agencies, some latitude, some flexibility in how they cut their budgets. So instead of, you know, sequestration just cuts directly across the board. So instead of just cutting directly across the board, why don't you just give more latitude to people running the agencies to cut where they see fit? And here's what Rove had to say about these, what are called budget transfers.
The Republicans have a vulnerability on this unless they take action and give the president flexibility to move money around. This is particularly true with the defense budget. You have certain accounts inside the defense budget that have a long spend out, like they go build a ship, and some accounts that have a short time frame, like maintenance and operation, your current training program. And the Republicans have got to make a move to give the president the flexibility to move money around in accounts. But the bigger problem is, for the Democrats and Republicans, particularly for this president, is that the Democrats deny that we have a spending problem. The Fox poll had 83% of the American people saying, in the survey, saying we have a spending problem. And the administration and Democrats in Congress, Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, the majority leader in the House, Steny Hoyer, and the president himself have all said in the last few days, we don't have a spending problem. The American people think we do.
See, and that's the real divide here. 83% of the American people, almost every Republican in the country, about 90% of the independent voters in this country, and about 70% of the Democrats believe we've got a spending problem in the United States. 83% in all. Nancy Pelosi is not one of them. Harry Reid is not one of them. Barack Obama, not one of them. Steny Hoyer, the number two to Nancy Pelosi in the House, not one of them. This is your real problem. The people who are running the show for the Democratic Party in the House and the Senate do not believe that we are spending too much money. They don't look at the massive gap in expenditures versus tax revenue and see much of a problem. If there is, well, it's simple. You just need to raise taxes, so there will be a smaller gap. But I've told you this before, and this is something that I wouldn't have said a year ago, is that I really do think that the Democratic Party as an institution has become addicted to spending. That is, they just can't let it go. It's not about not wanting, or it's not about they want to spend money, is that they're addicted. They can't get off, they can't kick the habit, they can't get off the nicotine. And that is why they get so personal and so desperate and so over the top, these, you know, exaggerated claims, etc., which we'll be playing for you in a bit. So, you know, the phones are ringing here already in the John Carlson Show. I haven't given out the numbers, but the bottom line here is, yeah, you want to give Obama more flexibility in how he cuts the spending? Give him the flexibility, but tell him no more tax increases. You're going to cut spending. It's 5:15. John in Redmond, how are you?
Good. Good. How are you this morning, John?
Good. Go ahead. Nice to hear your voice.
I just want to say, it seems to me like sequester, if you look it up in Webster's, what it says is that's a very good start.
Yeah, and a start is all it is. You're absolutely right.
Anybody in a real conservative, you know, government spends too much. They need to cut.
Yeah, and no, I thank you for the call. The bottom line here that John is pointing out is that spending in this country in the next 10 years is going up about $9 trillion. The sequester, without the sequester, it would be going up by more than $10 trillion. And so all these, you know, this panicking you're seeing, and, you know, we're laying off meat inspectors, and you may have 3-hour waits at the airport now because of TSA furloughs. That is all about creating a panic because they don't want to do what they put off for too long, and that is reduce spending.
That is precisely why this is the most ridiculously hyped Armageddon since the Mayan calendar. Get a little spice to it.
Because we're going to have a lot of work to do in 2013.
Broadcasting in living color, just so you can see our red, white, and blue. Talk Radio 570 KVI.
Oh, good morning, everybody. It's 21 minutes after 5 o'clock in the morning. Glad you are here. John Carlson, Talk Radio 570 KVI. So I wanted to open up the show with just, you know, a primer on what sequestration is and what the House Republicans are doing to try and deal with it, and what the Senate Democrats are doing and the White House. And this much is coming through, and it couldn't be more clear, and that is that there is nothing in the Senate or coming out of the White House that indicates that we have a problem with too much spending in this country. That's just too little taxation. It's, oh, America's undertaxed. And until that mentality changes, you just have to ask yourself, what does it take to drive home this point? And instead of facing this reality, all they're doing is complaining about, this is going to mean unconscionable cuts in government. It's going to affect your everyday lives. That's because they don't want to deal with necessary spending cuts. So they're trying to make the little reductions that are required here as painful as possible. Some great insight about all this coming from Rand Paul. I've posted his entire conversation with CNN on my Facebook page because it runs about 5 minutes. And just go to facebook.com/JohnCarlsonRadio if you want to see all 5 minutes of it. But just to give you the highlights of it, here is Wolf Blitzer setting up President Obama's complaints about sequester and then going to Rand Paul, freshman senator from Kentucky, son of Ron Paul, for a rebuttal.
Senator, the president spoke today about those forced budget cuts. He had some pretty tough words for Republicans. Let me play a little bit of what he said. Get your reaction. Listen to this.
So now Republicans in Congress face a simple choice. Are they willing to compromise to protect vital investments in education and health care and national security and all the jobs that depend on them? Or would they rather put hundreds of thousands of jobs and our entire economy at risk just to protect a few special interest tax loopholes that benefit only the wealthiest Americans and biggest corporations? That's the choice.
All right, you heard.
All right, before we get to Rand Paul, I'm sorry, is this sales pitch getting a little dry? Is this sales pitch maybe taking on a little too much age here? It's just been used one too many times. Because that's what we kept hearing about the tax increases before the fiscal cliff. He gets his increases and he's going right back to the same old script. But anyway, never mind what I have to say about it. Here's Rand Paul.
Heard the president lay out the choice. Are you willing to compromise on the way he described it?
I'm not really willing to discuss it in the framework that he's made up for himself. I mean, for goodness sakes, it was his proposal. You know, he proposed the sequester. It was his idea. He signed it into law. And now he's going to tell us that, it's all our fault. I voted against the sequester because I didn't think it was enough. The sequester cuts the rate of growth of spending, but the sequester doesn't even really begin to cut spending, which we have to do, or we're going to get a credit downgrade, another credit downgrade.
So you don't think that the $85 billion this year, that would be the forced cuts this year, that from your perspective, that's not enough?
It's a pittance. I mean, it's a slowdown in the rate of growth. There are no real cuts happening over 10 years. Over 10 years, the budget will still grow $7 to $8 trillion. He added $6 trillion to the debt in his first term. He's on course to add another $4 to $6 trillion in his second term. So really, this is even just the really nibbling at the edges. And he's saying, it's some dramatic thing where all of a sudden it's still the rich's fault. Didn't he already raise taxes on the rich? I have trouble even understanding what he's talking about because he sets up this rhetoric and this sort of game of let's go get the rich again that really is divorced from any reality. It's his sequester we're talking about, his bill.
Excellent points and smack on accurate. And if you want to know just how accurate... Here, listen to Jay Carney squirm here. Here is Fox News' Brett Baer interviewing Jay Carney recently about who owns the sequester. He's quoting, I believe, from Bob Woodward's book, which chronicled the birth of the sequester and placed it squarely with Team Obama, namely Jack Lew, his then budget director. But here is Brett Baer and Jay Carney.
I love that the Republicans are trying to make this the Obama sequester. Let me remind you that on the day the sequester passed, the House of Representatives, 269 congressmen and women voted for it. How many were Republicans? 171. Among those Republicans, the Speaker of the House, the Republican Majority Leader, the Republican Whip, and the Chairman of the Budget Committee, who later became the Vice Presidential nominee. All of them voted for it. The Speaker of the House that day said, I got 98% of what I want. I'm pretty pleased. So somehow, what they liked then, they don't like now.
Fair, but it's...
They're trying to say it was the president's idea.
Fair to say, but it was the president's idea.
Well, look,
you can concede that point, right?
What I will concede is that we were looking, and the Republicans were looking for a trigger around which to build the mechanism to get us out of default possibility.
Right.
And that sequester was one of the ideas put forward, by the president's team.
But Jack Lew is quoted in Bob Woodward's book as saying, quote, we have an idea for a trigger, and Harry Reid is quoted as saying, what's the idea? And he says sequestration.
Sure. You guys can hang all you want on this, but our proposal
I'm
was
just
to include...
The book.
was to include revenue in that, and shockingly, balance was opposed entirely by Republicans at the time. That's why we have the situation we have now.
I love this. He's desperately trying to talk over Bret Baier. Bret Baier is just reading to him from Woodward's book, that where Harry Reid says, "What's your idea?" And Jack Lew, representing Team Obama from the White House, says, "Sequestration." Okay, that is where this idea was born. It was not proposed out of a conversation between Republicans and Democrats. The Republicans had wanted caps on spending, and once again, we have no spending problem. Forget it. We're not going there. However, they had to do something to show they were serious about doing something about the deficit. So they said, here we go. If we don't agree to reduce the size of increasing budgets, then we'll have automatic reductions. And we'll call that, sequestration. In other words, this is all on those guys. And the Republicans agreed to it because Obama rejected what the Republicans wanted to do. So, again, this is the Obama sequestration, because the Republicans not only didn't get the budget caps they wanted, they agreed to what Obama suggested as a counterproposal. And then when the sequestration deadline began to get nearer and nearer, the Republicans passed their own spending reduction plan, same amount of money to be reduced from the increasing deficits over 10 years. And they looked to Obama. Obama's doing nothing.
Because we're going to have a lot of work to do in 2013.
Yeah, and he's not started any of it yet. So that is why we are where we are. And you're tuned in to John Carlson, KVI. Here's your headlines.